How do you start a new year? It's not too often that we actually have a Sunday that is January 1st. It's been 7 years since that has last occurred. And I want to just be able to think back a little over the course of time a little bit. You know, it's normal, it's typical, maybe even expected that a New Year's message will be shaped in such a way that it will bring motivation for you for the new year ahead. Maybe that's what you've come looking for. People want to move on to something better. Anybody want something better this year than they had last year? A lot of people are in that boat. They want something different than they've had, or something different than they've experienced. And so they look for messages, they look for social media posts or videos or even memes that will provide that kind of inspiration. And I would agree that it's important to start each day, each week, each month, each year with the expectations that are rooted in the faithfulness of God and His provision for us, His promised provision for us. However, to do so by neglecting what has transpired in the season preceding us does not equip us really to embrace all that's going to come next. And to do so individually without consideration for those around us is also a little naive, because all of our lives are affected by relationships. In fact, I would propose that a failure to reflect and to consider others sets us up to abandon any goals or resolutions that we may try to set here and now. So what I want to be able to do this morning for a few minutes is just reflect a little bit on our theme verses for 2022 in this parable told by Jesus. Like, these verses, Luke chapter 10, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can join me there. Commonly known as the Good Samaritan. We pinned this sermon that was shared at the beginning of the year to the top of our YouTube channel for several months. We kept the reminder of these verses at the top of our prayer requests that are in our e-bulletin each and every week. And so our hope was that they would continue to inform not only how we think, but what we do. And together with Patrick, we brought some teaching, some learning together through this theme of mercy that is found in these verses. And God has shaped us and is continuing to shape us according to His mercy as the calendar pages turn throughout this year. And it's been pretty staggering, humbling, powerful even to see. And maybe you'll catch a little bit of a glimpse of that here in a few moments. So let's be reminded again as we turn to Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' And he answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You've answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus in reply says, 'A man was going down going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was and saw him, and he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.'" Jesus ends with this question to the man. I think perhaps before he asks that question, there's a bit of a pause. A silence that is broken only by this question that he asks. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers. So let me ask you for a few moments, even to think now. In this past year, who have you seen that has been in need of mercy? Because that's really what Jesus is asking this guy, this religious leader. He's asking him to think about this whole episode of mercy. This leader, this expert, this self-righteous religious lawyer can't even utter the word Samaritan. That's how deep his prejudice or hatred was towards them, those people, them, they. Instead, he says, the one who had mercy on him. And can you feel that? Even from him, this most legalistic of people had to admit in his countenance, even if he couldn't do it with his words, that that's what happens when mercy moves. When mercy moves, inconvenience becomes opportunities. When mercy moves, compassion wins over judgment. When mercy moves, our tightly held day timers and schedules get all messed up, and it's okay. When mercy moves, our value isn't tied to our profession or our professional goals. When mercy moves, generosity, sacrifice, and care for the other becomes normalized and necessary. When mercy moves, our biases, our prejudices, even our religious structures get confronted. But that's not all that happens when mercy moves. You know, we're used to hearing this story, this parable, and for some of you, you might remember this from a year ago. If you do, you're in a great minority. We're used to hearing this parable, this story being told, and placing ourselves in the seat of the hero. That's kind of what our natural, Western, paternalistic, materialistic bias does to us in our context. We want to be the hero. We want to be the one who makes a difference, even if it means taking on the identity of the Samaritan, if we would never otherwise choose to be a person like that. We want to show mercy and make a difference, don't we? You know, and as we've been learning together through this year, we have had a number of different and diverse opportunities to express the mercy of God to our community at the SCMC. For those of you here in person, you may have, and if you're here right at the very beginning, you might have seen a little video that traced some of that. Let me just share with you some things that we have done over the course, by God's grace and through his generosity, over the course of this year. Have we made a difference in our community? We have given significantly, repeatedly to the River City Homeless Shelter. We've supported the Salvation Army emergency vehicle who gives out meals to the homeless. We have provided resources to the Sexual Assault Survivor Centers to help victims of domestic abuse. We've given food assistance to NeighborLink, or supported the food assistance that NeighborLink provides. We have supported the breakfast program at P.E. McGibbon School, which has seen a dramatic increase in children, students in need. We have sent thank you gift to Blue Water Health staff as a part of our common our efforts as Sarnia Evangelical Fellowship together with other churches in our community. We have partnered with Trinity Anglican Church to help settle two families from the Ukraine. We have given to and supported Nightlight and a ministry in downtown Sarnia to help those who might lack relationship, develop good relationship. In the spring, we continue to provide practical gifts to students aging out of foster care. Throughout the year, even just a couple of days ago, we provide emergency help to families in need through St. Clair Child and Youth. This week, a mom and her husband lost a 2.5-month-old baby who died in her sleep overnight. We were able to be of help. in that. We provide help to the Pregnancy Options and Support Center, to the Inn of the Good Shepherd through our community garden and other efforts, to the Sarnia Lambton Coalition Against Human Trafficking and Trafficking of Women and Children. We hosted protocol training that went out to agencies and the police force. We hosted that here, partnered with them in that. Most recently, we have partnered with Empower Ministries to provide help and resources to local churches in Ukraine to put out the truth of Jesus in these scripture booklets. Over 3,000 people will receive those because of the mercy that's being demonstrated through God, by God, through the people connected to us. And then Shelter Canada, sending his team through there. And many of you, as part of the SCMC, have given generously. You know, as we mentioned in September, we were almost able to raise enough for a house. And then as the fall has gone on, we actually surpassed that one. And we've actually surpassed two houses given specifically through our church family. But more than that, there's going to be 12 families who will be hearing about the hope that exists because of Jesus as these houses are raised, and much of that support has come from our community. We have continued our efforts in understanding how we fit in this worldwide tragedy of human trafficking by supporting the efforts of the Philippine Office of International Justice Mission. In our own local ideals, we have gained approval for the incorporation of a company called the Greater Glass Company, which will be built to address gaps in human trafficking awareness and prevention here in our community. Along the way, we have identified and brought to light, and some of you participated in with Loving Ministry, Loving Muslims Together, or the Chapel at the Inn, or Nightlight, or Sarnia Blessings, or the Friendship Group, who meet here physically on Thursday nights, and in fact, starting again this week. And none of this includes our community partnerships that exist through our building that continue to demonstrate mercy, like NeighborLink, which I mentioned previously, like Circles, Lambton Circles, who mentor people out of generational poverty. And most recently, our partnership with Roca Elite Basketball, who teach character above basketball skills in a way that extends what we want to do with to people who we would never otherwise meet, and it's been a great relationship. We have a group of seniors who meet here twice a week through the West Lambton Community Health Center, and they also participate in our efforts. Did you know that? We don't ask them to do anything, but they give periodically as they see what we're doing. We have had this relationship with Aslan Organics, and mutually beneficial, through which we learned about creation care all the more. And this year it was great to be able to welcome back, after two summers away, 7 weeks of camp for autistic kids, providing respite, much needed respite for their families. And what a blessing that is. And of course, Job Path, through whom we have Kenny Clark, our custodian, who otherwise wouldn't have employment in our city. And he, by his grandma told us at our staff dinner, he sees us as his family. He has hardly any family, but he says this is his family. That's what mercy looks like on that position. That's what God is doing in this year, in 2022. That's what God has invited you to be a part of. That's pretty amazing. But there's something else, you know, there's something else that's happening in this parable, and it'd be unwise to stop that there. It's possible, you know, that this lawyer, this man of social standing and respected reputation among his peers, now looks at himself and realizes that he is the one who is broken. He is the one who has been discarded by the side of the religious road of life, only to be ignored by those who know the truth and fail to act it out. Because that's what happens when mercy moves. It exposes our brokenness. You know, again, as we reflect on this year, if I were to ask you this question, where have the circumstances of life exposed your brokenness? Because when mercy moves, you can't predict its program. You can't program it or predict its movement. Mercy moves from our God of mercy to the people whom he loves. Mercy moves into our hearts, the hearts of the broken. Mercy provides healing and courage and strength. And then mercy moves through our story into the lives of others. This is exactly what the Lord has been doing through and among us as we've been listening and learning through his word together in each mercy-themed learning series over the course of this past year. We've gone through these series, Growing Together, where we learned what it means to be part of the SCMC, More to Discover, where we witnessed how God used individuals who were willing to make a difference as they served greater purposes. We learned through Luke to dig deeper, to build our foundation on the truth of God. We learned through the book of Hosea in a series called Relentless about redemption and hope and reconciliation that is possible. We've learned through Built to Shine what it means to understand the goodness of God and to allow that goodness to be demonstrated through our lives. And most recently, we've just come through this story of Ruth Held, where we looked at a family and discovered the gift of presence and the presence of compassionate love, biblical compassion, which has one purpose, to provide spiritual restoration for the wounded soul. And maybe as you listen to that list, that summary, you may remember one or two of those messages. And if there's something that the Lord has impressed upon you or brings back to memory, let me encourage you to take note of that now so that you don't forget it again later. And as you think about all that we've been through or all that you've been through over the course of this year, I want to use this picture of the chairs in the sanctuary as a little bit of a symbol. 1 year ago, we were still very much distant and separate. I don't know, it might be hard for you to remember that. In this kind of same space. It was only in March of this past year that those restrictions began to change. And as they did, some of us were ready for change. We're like, yes, we need to change. Others were still recovering from the lingering effects of social separation for a couple of years. But all of us are having to re-engage in a world that seems to press in on us, demand from us, and provide little room for us to get used to its pace again. Some of those who came through the pandemic relatively well have recognized how much effort that took for them and have been showing signs of weariness in these days in many different forms. Our schools have been affected, our workplaces have been affected, our neighborhoods are affected, our health, our families, our churches. And as this past year has unfolded, a number of you were courageous and vulnerable enough to reveal your brokenness, and that's not easy. That is the work of God. You've been courageous enough to reveal your wounds and share your questions and your frustrations and your longings. And in so doing, for some, we have been recognizing the faithfulness and the provision of the Lord amid the brokenness. None of which we would have anticipated, or little of which we could have anticipated or prepared for at the beginning of last year. I'm not going to share your story this morning. I do want to share a little bit of our story, our family's story. I had no idea when mapping out our teaching and learning through the course of this past year how much I also would need this. Second only to the year that my father died, which was 20 years ago, almost 21, this has been a really hard year for our family. We've watched each of our kids deal with. Unexpected, unmerited challenges and difficulties. And we couldn't fix any of it. We still can't. And we can't be the ones to do it anyway. So, what do we do? How do we go through that? I'll share a little bit about how I've gone through it in a moment, but I want to share with you, with his permission, our son Jarrett wrote this reflection after the end of the Held series, and he said it was okay if I shared it. It's not a statement of completion, but just a recognition. And maybe it's helpful to you. He writes these words: redemption. The process of healing from brokenness is a painful one, I think. The period of waiting, crying out, frustration, begging for something to change, choosing progress over perfection or the desire to be perfect is the road to redemption. I'm being changed through the Holy Spirit as I put my trust in Jesus, because he was faithful before, so he will be faithful again. Joy leads us through the painful period of waiting and circumstance, because through having assurance that God is with me in my brokenness, I can have hope that he allows me to be courageous over fear. And through that hope, as I lean more into it, I can be at peace. For through God's love, I am strong in my weakness, and I feel very weak. Christmas is the beginning of my story of redemption because of Jesus. He shares that story not as someone has overcome, but someone who has to fight every day, much like many of us, with our brokenness and our wounds and our sorrows. To find our place in this story in Luke chapter 10, we first have to find ourselves as the one who is broken. It's only in acknowledging our brokenness and our need and our weariness, our weakness, that we experience the life-changing difference that is ours in Jesus, the unlikely Savior, in whom there is found no beauty, no majesty, who is mistreated and rejected by his own people. You know, we can sometimes deny or ignore our brokenness and try to do good to override the hurt, loneliness, discouragement, and pain that we can often feel. We can try to be the hero, but our capes are often weighed down and we cannot fly. But when mercy moves, we start to ask new questions. Questions like, how has God's mercy through Jesus, the unlikely Savior, brought healing to my life? Or what areas of brokenness need to be healed? With the Spirit of Jesus comes a newly cultivated perspective to be ready to respond to these and other questions. Questions like, to whom should I be a neighbor? To whom does Jesus want me to demonstrate compassion, generosity, and sacrificial commitment? Could God be at work in people and circumstances that I don't particularly like or am comfortable in? Circumstances that are hard, or people that I might be more reluctant to associate with, or of whom I may be even afraid? Might there be more going on in a situation than is immediately noticeable? You see, when it comes to a new year, many people make goals and resolutions based on mistakes or disappointments that have gone before us, behind us. In so doing, we neglect to account for the unpredictable and the uncertainty of the year to come. And if we only adjust for the past, then we can be ignorant to the effects of the present, and we can fail to prepare for the future. So what do we do instead? I promised that I would share how I have been trying to navigate through this year. And I want to invite you, if you have your Bible app, you can turn to Psalm 46. And And many of you know, there's not too much I can tell you that you don't really already know about me. I'm not going to be able to share something and say, oh, that's interesting because I didn't know that. I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm pretty straightforward in the way that I do and understand things. And so this has been really meaningful to me in different ways, and I share it with you, and we'll use it maybe even as to reflect as we prepare for communion. Psalm 46 says this. It starts out with this word God is. It starts with who God is. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in trouble. That anchor point is huge for me. Because there's a lot of days where you wake up and one of the phrases that I have is that you never know what a day will bring. But if I don't start with the trouble, I start by the reminder that God is. God is. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is. When all this stuff is swirling around, and then there's this picture of hope. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes the wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And it ends with this reminder, the Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I'm a really simple guy. When I read these words, this is what I read. In the midst of all the chaos, the brokenness within my own life, the situations within my own family, it's crazy, it's chaos. The things that are happening in your family, in your situations, it's crazy, it's chaos. And I have no solution for any of it. But I know that God is, and that God will. I don't know how. And so I'm learning more and more that my first response is to be still. And that is really hard work because our minds want to go 1,000 places. We want to fix. We want solutions. And sometimes it's just the effort for myself and for whomever I'm talking to be still. So that you know that God is with you. And once you know that God is with you, it changes the way you go through things. But stillness is a tough thing to cultivate. God says, be still. And in that reflection, I am reminded that I need to know deep within me, know deep within me that he is God, that he is with us. He's a protector. He's a provider. He instills hope. He understands how these pieces may fit together. And in the stillness, I get myself out of the way. He says, be still. He says, be still. Why would I try to come up with another solution?